What would you say was your toughest class or rotation in medical school?
Oh, okay. I have to think back here. I would say histology. I hated it.
Ew.
Just in terms of just like, I don't know. It just didn't, everything looked the same to me, even though I'm supposed to be a visual, you know, be able to discriminate things visually going into radiology, things like that.
Excuse me, is this the reading room?
Yes, I'm Dr. Saad Manzul.
I'm Dr. Travis Howard.
Welcome to the reading room.
Thank you for pressing play. We have a special guest here today, Dr. Hassan Muhammad. What's up? How are you today?
Hi. Hello, sir.
How are you guys today?
Appreciate you coming.
Thanks for
coming. Appreciate you coming all the way out here.
It's good to see you guys not in your scrubs and outside of the hospital.
Yes, nice, absolutely.
Yeah.
Work-life balance.
Yes.
Radiology life.
Radiology life, exactly.
That's the road, exactly.
Yeah.
So our first question that we're going to ask everyone is, what would you say was your toughest class or rotation in medical school?
Oh, okay. I have to think back here. I would say histology. I hated it.
Ew.
Just in terms of just like, I don't know. It just didn't, everything looked the same to me, even though I'm supposed to be a visual, you know, be able to discriminate things visually going into radiology, things like that.
Oh, histology, you're so useless.
Yeah, I just so couldn't do it. I mean, it's super important in the skill I wish I could have, especially seeing how great our pathology colleagues are, but
they
it
are.
For me, it just didn't click. It was also like one of the first courses in med school, and obviously that transition to med school, can be very, very,
very
challenging.
So tell me, was it digital or was it all microscope at the time?
That's a good question. It was both. So I think, I feel like I can never get the microscope right, right?
You know,
Like, it's either just the eye, the scopes would either feel like it was too close or too far away.
Did you do two eyes or one eye?
Oh, I think I tried to do two eyes. I tried to look like I was doing two eyes, but really I was probably only looking through one.
That's real.
Big
that's
facts.
Real. Exactly. Oh, it's funny.
But
I remember our histology was like kind of like part of like other classes, so it was like kind of longitudinal. You can like never get away from it. So
just always there.
It was just always every time we had like a exam, it was like 10 questions on like histology, which is. You know, I mean, basically made me like not necessarily focus on it, because I was like, let me just focus on everything else. The histology stuff.
Just such a small
portion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So when it came to the microscope, I used no eyes actually.
Just close it. Take a nap. Yeah.
Just there you go.
Interesting. Yeah. So let me ask you, Hassan. So where are you from?
Oh well. So you know. You've known me since birth pretty much, but Travis, I'll kind of direct more of this answer to you since having the pleasure of meeting you for the first time in person today.
Yes.
So I grew up in a small college town called Carbondale, Illinois. This is 6 hours south of Chicago, because everyone always assumes if it's Illinois, it's somewhere near Chicago.
Not Chicago.
Big state.
Yes, exactly.
Long state.
Yeah.
Flyover state.
Yes, very much. There's a university there called Southern Illinois University. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, I would say, you know, the large majority of people there are somehow affiliated with the school you know, in some kind of way associated with the school. That brings in everything there. And it's kind of like a pocket of diversity surrounded by a very, you know, more southern feeling area.
Or very homogenous area.
Yes, yes. you know, Southern Illinois actually feels very southern, even though it's, you know, above the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah.
And you know, my parents, what brought them there was the university.
Okay.
So Sudanese parents.
Oh, similar like, story.
Yes.
Exactly.
Very, very similar. I mean, you know, you essentially consider him and his brother Waleed, who's behind the camera over there, my brothers, because we all grew up in the same area, and as you can imagine, there weren't many Sudanese people in Carbondale, Illinois. So, yeah.
You guys were like probably like three of you. Okay. So Carbondale, Illinois. What was, can you tell me what was most difficult about growing up there? And what would you say you hated the most about the place? And I mean, what you loved about it?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think, first of all, I'll say while you're there, you don't appreciate it. And everyone just wants to leave. It's like one of those places that you're just,
you know, it's so slow.
You just want to leave. Like, you know, it's just, I think as kids, growing up and, you know, obviously there was that small pocket of diversity, like in Carbondale, but, that surrounding area is so, you know, you just feel so, you know, I think homogenous is a good word that you said. There wasn't a lot of opportunities outside of there. So everyone's goal really is to try to leave, to go to a bigger city. Most of my friends and the people that we grew up with usually end up going to Chicago. Yep. Or, you know, some go to St. Louis because that's the closest big city.
Exactly.
But in terms of like challenges, I would say, you know, definitely, you know, just trying to fit in is always a challenge in a community like that.
So like when you were in school, did you feel like you were very much into school because there was nothing else going on, or was it kind of opposite where you just felt like I didn't want to do anything?
Yeah. I mean, I think I was into school because like I didn't have a choice. Our parents, you know, like my father's a professor and my mom is, you know, ended up getting a master's in education. So it was in workforce education. So she was, I mean, there were
no choice.
There was no choice. I mean, which is fantastic. Yeah, exactly. Not if you want to eat. Yeah. I mean, and I actually grew up like a funny, you know, thing that probably people were like, well, that's kind of weird. But, you know, we grew up like, you know, no cable until like high school. Essentially like all of our entertainment was just either being outside or reading a lot of books.
But you guys did have the two movies.
Yeah, we did have the two movies.
Yes, we did. It was Clueless.
Yeah.
And was it Dumb and Dumber?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes. Dumb and Dumber and Clueless.
Yes. We actually had three though. We had Ace Ventura also.
Oh yeah.
But that's true. We were very much into Jim Carrey movies. I don't know why.
It was just
funny. Yeah.
That's funny you say that, man. I have a similar experience too. I mean, we didn't have cable until I was in high school. And it was actually DirecTV. Right? And then small town where you struggle to fit in.
Where did you grow up?
In Northeast Ohio.
Which,
Like a small town, Warren, Ohio, and then even smaller in a rural area. I went to high school with like 130 people I graduated with.
Wow.
But, you know, farms on my road, and it was a bit of a mix because my dad's a pastor of a church.
So I would
go into the city.
Yeah.
And interesting. Around my cousins and people that look like me, but then I would go out to school and I'd be in like, calling me this and doing that. So, you know, it's funny, you know, you get to a certain point where you're like, I'm out of here.
I'm leaving.
Well, I think for you, like, did you feel like Columbus would be the place to go? Was that kind of like the goal, was to like get out of Warren and go to Columbus?
I got there and then it's, you know, I wanted to go other places. But I mean, I could have been very happy in Columbus.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. You know, I interviewed for a job in Warren.
Did you?
I did.
As a radiologist.
The market was ugly when I finished. And I remember interviewing. I think I applied to like 150 jobs when I finished. Because like there were no jobs. And I remember going to Warren and, you know, like I kind of used my Ohio State connections. And I was like, you know, I went to Case and, you know, want to be in Northeast Ohio. Those guys did not believe me. Like they were like no way. And the one guy even like like when it came after my interview, he actually even like he sent me like he got on the phone with me. We ended up being good friends actually. He ended up calling me. He's like, listen, we like you, we think you'll be good, but if you take the job, we know you're leaving. Yeah, he's just like, we know you're leaving, so we can't even give it to you.
Oh wow.
And he even like referenced me growing up in Carbondale too. He was like, I know you're gonna leave, so. Yeah, he was right.
Wow.
Yeah. He was right. I probably wouldn't have stayed.
Yeah.
The pay would have been good though.
But... pay would have been good.
And your money would have went a long
yeah,
way.
Yeah, very long way. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
So, oh, that's so funny. Is all your family still back there?
Or... yeah, so yeah, my family, my wife's family, they're all still back there.
Okay.
But we chose this location too because it's just kind of a short drive home, like four to five hours. So.
Oh, is it really that close from here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think Cleveland's like bad, yeah. 5 or 6. Yeah, yeah, it's not too far.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
So it worked.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
But back to you.
Yes, back to you. So high school. So how were you in high school, Stu, like academic wise? Like, did you feel like you were kind of studying hard and kind of had a goal, or was it kind of?
Yeah. So I think I was that person that probably, you know, I wanted to get 90% and then stop. Like, you know, I wanted to get the A, you know.
You want to get the cool A, not the nerd A. I don't know what you're saying.
I guess so.
You want to get the 93, not the 97.
Very well, bro.
Oh, there's a science to it. There's absolutely a science to it. You have to, yeah, you know, you want to be cool, but like, not like, you know, yeah. You didn't put all your effort in.
Yeah.
I could have.
Yeah, right?
I could have, but
exactly.
I didn't.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to, you know, put Waleed on blast behind the camera there, but
yes.
He's very much... even more in that way, I think. But anyhow.
That's a different story. Yeah,
yeah, that's yeah. A different story. Yeah. But yeah, I think in high school, I, you know, very much, you know, everyone wants to, you know, be accepted by, you know, the peers that they respect the most in that, you know, in that, and everything's about, you know, social acceptance at that age, right? But. Yeah.
True.
But yeah, I think you know, I knew obviously from what my parents instilled in me that I needed to, you know, do certain things to make sure, you know, I could get to where I wanted to go, including getting out of Carbondale.
Mm-hmm. And you had your older brother who got out.
Yes. Right. And so, you know, my brother Yassad, he's like just, you know, one of my biggest influences, and he, you know, he kind of set that, you know, he was a role model to me. It's like, oh, he, you know, he crushed it in school, but, you know, obviously also felt like he was like very, very, you know, quote unquote cool, and, you know,
very outgoing
and had a great reputation, you know, in high school, and, you know,
and
what's it, yeah, so
he was eclectic.
Yes. And I mean, he and Saad were like, you know,
yeah, so he was like, so he was my age. And then my little brother was his age.
Oh. Yeah.
So we kind of grew up that way.
Nice.
Yeah. So basically like two pairs of brothers kind of going through everything.
Exactly.
Together.
He ended up at U of I, and then you kind of decided U of I as well for undergrad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was basically, you know, he was the one who kind of paved that way, him inside. And, you know, it's definitely not a, you know, you can't make any... progress or like, you know, achieve, I think, professional successes that are difficult without having a role model and, you know, mentors so along
true,
the way,
right?
And yes, know, as much as I like to try to clown Saad, but he's, you know, he certainly paved the way for me in a lot of ways, especially, you know, radiology. It's certainly not a surprise that we're both at Kaiser Radiology now, so
that's right.
Yeah, but we talked about that on our last pod, just having mentors and,
yes,
you know, just seeing someone do it.
Yeah.
And, like, I think seeing someone do it right in front of you is very important as well. So,
yeah.
Now that makes sense. And you knew you wanted to be a physician when you went to undergrad, or was it kind of up in the air?
Yeah.
Because you have an engineer right here.
Yeah. Oh, you were an engineer?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, which kind of?
A little bit.
Oh.
I did industrial engineering.
Okay.
I worked for Lockheed Martin for a little bit, and... but I found the light.
Sunlight or the dark.
In the dark. Like in the
dark. So what made you switch?
I didn't like my jobs. You know, I went from, you know, the manufacturing, industrial engineering aspect of it to consulting work at Accenture and tried the business side as a financial analyst. Mm. And I just, I didn't like what I was doing every day, man.
I see.
Yeah, I wanted to see my labor transition into, you know, someone else being better off.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that.
Yeah.
And you could connect the dots maybe in a long, circuitous way with my other gigs. But being a physician, there's, I guess, so much gratification from just seeing a patient do well.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
I think that supersedes any of the other benefits of being a physician.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah.
It took going and trying different things to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because believe you me, my parents would have loved if I would have been a doctor straight off
straight
out the gate. But,
yeah.
You know, I wasn't feeling it at that time.
Yeah.
So.
But you got to take path, you got to take your path. You know?
Yeah.
Like, your story is written for you, so you kind of got to go through your journey before. Because it's such a long, like once you commit to going in medicine, it's such a long haul that like if you have any doubts or if you feel like you're not all the way in, you know, it's just too tough. Because you got to go explore other things, you know, before you decide that this is what you want to do.
Because
it's a long time. You know, you'll be, like, you know, 25, 26. You know, sitting in $300,000 worth of debt while your friends went to like law school and were engineers, you know, they have cars and houses. It's so different. So, and I'm sure like, you know, you went straight through and, you know, I'm sure you saw people who like, you know, when you're like, you know, late 20s and, you know, you still have to, you know, go to the dollar menu because it's too expensive still.
Yeah.
You're in med school, you know, like it's different. It's totally different.
Yeah.
So.
Was there any point during your journey that you wanted to quit?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you remember like one time where you were like, I'm done with this, I'm out?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think.
During medical school or during residency?
Definitely.
During histology.
Specifically during
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to choose one that would be most appropriate. But,
well, how about this? Why don't you tell us about how about in undergrad? Was there any point in undergrad when you felt like, you know, you didn't want to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the very beginning, the first semester, I'm not going to divulge too many like personal details yet, but I mean, there was basically like a, you know, kind of a crisis that struck my family. When I got into undergrad, I actually went in undecided, was not thinking medicine at that time. And then this happened and we spent a ton of time, you know, obviously, with, my family member's recovery and seeing what happened and you know, gaining so much respect for the care team that took care of this family member. And so that's kind of what inspired me to go into medicine.
I was going to say it's an important lesson. I think for anyone who's choosing the path is, you know, you can control your education part.
Yeah.
The life part you can't necessarily control.
No.
And like that can... 100%. That can happen at any point to anybody. And there's nothing wrong with like taking time off to figure it out or, you know, kind of questioning what it is you want to do because there's just certain things you control and there's certain things you just can't control.
Yeah.
You know? That's a very good point you make. You know, I feel like medicine in general, a culture that I'm familiar with going to medical school, you didn't take time off. What do you mean you have a person?
Exactly.
I know, right?
What do you mean you have something you need to take a break for? You know, I think now things are changing, which I'm appreciative of, but, you know, it's important to do that.
Yeah.
It's important if you need to stop, take a break, rethink, recenter. It's easy to get derailed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
I mean,
absolutely.
Thankfully, you stayed on track and you finished it and you need to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I definitely have an appreciation for taking a step back, like you said. I mean, I think that's just so important to recenter, figure out what you're doing this for, and not to lose sight of, you know, that reason for why you're doing that. like going back to just like that undergrad story, that first semester, I mean, I was very, very, if it wasn't for my parents, I probably would have, like, you know, taken a leave of absence from college for a little bit, just because the guilt of not being there every single day with my parents, because this all happened, you know, far away from where I was going to school.
Yeah.
That guilt was overpowering a lot of times. And so my parents, you know, but they were like, absolutely not. You cannot take any, you know, time off. You need to, you know, keep going and, you know, do what you, you know, like what, you know, we want you to keep going. And it, I can tell how important it was for them to see me still keep going.
And, yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah, sometimes you're doing it, you know, I think that's the other thing, you know, for people who are going to become like first generation physicians, other people who like haven't had a lot of, necessarily academic success in their family. It's important that, like, you know, sometimes they put a lot of pressure on you because you're the one, they're like, yeah, you're the one, like you have to make it. And, it's kind of tough because, you know, it's a different pressure that, you know, some people don't necessarily feel. But it's something to acknowledge and, you know, kind of just make a decision based on how you feel about how far you want to go with it and if you feel like you can handle it. Mm-hmm. But it kind of definitely, like, molds you into, like, you know, whatever you're meant to be, so.
Yeah, I feel like that's an episode all on its
own. Yes.
It is.
Dive into survivor's remorse.
Exactly.
Dive
into
being the one and what that means and the pressure on you. But
Exactly. Yeah. But it's a long process. Again, it's such a long process that, like, you have to want to do it, and you wouldn't have made it through if you didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's so tough. It's really tough. So,
yeah.
So in our last episode, we kind of went back and forth on applying to, like, med school. How was applying to med school for you?
That's a loaded question.
How many?
I applied to a lot, and I think that was...
Ask Travis how many schools he applied to.
Hey, listen. I don't remember.
How many schools did you apply to?
It might have been like, I don't know, 10 or 15, something like that.
Oh, man, you were confident.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're confident.
I don't know.
Beast mode.
It's just like, this is what it is. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, you had a good perspective. Yeah.
I was in, we talked about this, but I think, I was in, offensive line numbers, 78, 79.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Just many. Throw it up, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to throw them up. And, like, you know, I'm old enough where, like, I had a book with, like, all the, you know, with all the med schools in it.
Yeah.
And, like, all the MCAT score averages and, like, what the school, you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Was called, but
I do remember that book.
Yeah,
And the contact information for each school.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I had like the secretaries memorized. I knew, like, everybody. Yeah. It was
for 78.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Because, you know, one shot.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
Like 80 shots.
But you just need one. You just need one to open the door.
You just need one kill. That's exactly right.
It's a smarter approach, man.
It's a more expensive approach.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, my first Capital One credit card was opened.
Was it right?
That time. Yeah, definitely. But no, go ahead. Please tell us.
I think it was probably around 40. Yeah.
About 40. Oh,
about 40.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Like,
at least.
You're like a free safety. Free safety numbers. This guy's quarterback numbers over
quarterback
here.
Numbers. He was confident, man. He knew. He knew. Yeah.
You made it through.
He knew. It worked out. Where did you go to med school?
Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I applied, I'm like, I want to go to an HBCU.
Yeah.
Or I want a scholarship.
Okay.
So I applied in certain pockets, and Cincinnati was it for me.
All over, like Midwest, or do you remember?
I did focus on certain regions. My now wife, and at the time we were dating long distance, she was kind of looking at places kind of around the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. Mm-hmm. So I probably, and you were out here already for, at George Washington.
Yeah, residency. Yep.
So those were like the main reasons I even applied in DC, Maryland, Virginia kind of area. And I definitely applied to like all the Midwest schools. didn't get much love from there, which was, I don't know.
Surprising.
I'm still a little bit like chip on my shoulder for not like, you know.
I told Travis last episode, I went to Ohio State and did not get an interview at Ohio State.
Yeah. That's so strange. And I think they, yeah. Like,
they told me to do the med prep program or something.
Oh, really? Like, you're like, what? No.
Anyway.
Yeah. And then where else? And then.
Did you interview at a bunch of places?
I interviewed at like, probably on like five, I don't know, maybe like five places, not that many. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, for the black people, I feel like you might not get as many interviews, but you'll kill the interviews. Because like, you know, like you'll be unique. The fact that you made it this far means that like you actually can talk to people and can interact, you know? So like, I think for us, like a lot of times the rate limiting step is like getting the interviews.
That's true. Yeah,
you know, like I think once you get the interviews, you're good.
You know,
like
the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
On topics and show respect and just be humble. And
exactly.
Those are things that they're looking for, right?
Yeah.
100%.
Because you've had to like basically interview your whole life. Like you've just been interviewing the whole time, so like
that's true. That's very true.
So like, I feel like when I talk to people, they're like, you know, I applied to all these places. Like, nah, just get your interviews. Once you get your interviews, you'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Just get the interviews and just see what happens, and you'll be good. So where did you end up at med school?
Yeah, so I ended up at University of Maryland in Baltimore. So you know, right up the street, I guess, from here. But I think it ended up being between there and Howard.
Okay. HU.
It was and then it came down to just you know, like feel on the interview day and who I met, but it would have been great to be at either one.
Getting in is nice. And you applied, you said you kind of applied to like some like more African-American schools, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really wanted to go to Morehouse School of Medicine. I went down there and I had a good vibe.
No, I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, Howard, I had a good vibe there. Meharry, I don't know what happened. I was supposed to go to my interview with Meharry. Got all mixed up.
Did you go or no?
I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go. Okay.
I don't know what happened. I don't want to lie. I liked Howard.
Yeah.
I remember came with my mom, and she was just so proud.
Oh, I'm sure.
We stayed in some dingy hotel.
Doesn't matter.
It's
like a Blackish episode.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was awesome.
You know, I interviewed at Meharry with like one of my best friends. Cool. We went up the same day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an interview. It was just us hanging out. It was literally just us hanging out.
Those are the best ones.
That's why you gotta go. You're like, like this the whole time.
It was fun. It was really fun. Like I think for a couple hours, like we just followed the med students around, which was fun, you know. So it was nice. I had a great time there. So
why did you choose to go there?
You know, I think I just had a good vibe from Case because I had like already established a rapport with like the people there, and you know, me and my friend, like we had promised that we'd go to med school together.
Nice.
Yeah. So we basically were like, yeah, we're going to go to the same school. And it basically came down to, it came down to Meharry, Case. And I think he had gotten into Michigan and I went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And they did not, I actually got an interview at Michigan, but I think it was right after one of the times that Ohio State beat Michigan, which is like all the time, obviously.
All the time.
So like I'm sitting there in the interview and like, you know, they have like a bunch of people there, right? Like 20 people interviewing. And I think at one point, like the guy that's like doing the interviews or whatever, he kind of has us all in the room and he has me stand up and he's like, you know, is anyone here from Ohio State? And then like, it was right after Thanksgiving. It was like right after like we had beat them. So like I stand up and then like, he just has everyone boo me. They literally just boo me.
A Michigan person would get that same treatment.
They would. But you know, the funny part was that me and my buddy were like, yo, if we get to Michigan, we're going to go to Michigan. So then he gets in, and then I get a rejection letter with a smiley face on it.
Are you serious?
Wow.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
I got waitlisted. But
that was a good one.
Yeah, I'll be going. For sure. Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's we wanted to go to the same school. We ended up at Case, and it was good. It was good. Yeah. So back to our special guest. Oh, yeah, so Marilyn, okay. So tell us about Marilyn. What was the vibe like?
Marilyn was great. I think you always look at things with rose-colored glasses on after the fact, you know, especially when you're done with histology. But so the friends I made in med school were some of the closest friends I still have to this day. And I think the people there were really fantastic. I think, relatively speaking, for a medical school, it was fairly diverse. And you know, obviously Baltimore has a lot of culture. I really liked Baltimore. It grew on me a lot. I know it's, you know, a very
R.I.P. Omar, by the way.
yes, R.I.P. Okay, Williams. Yep. So I think that was just like a great experience. Just the camaraderie with the classmates and everything like that.
I love Baltimore, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
The ground of that city that it makes me feel at home.
Yeah.
It's got a blue collar feel to it.
It's got a very Ohio feel. It does.
Yeah, the industrial kind of background, right? And I feel like Baltimore is just like one of those cities, like, oh, you know, if you don't like it, get out, you know, kind of like it. It's kind of like the attitude a little bit, you know what I mean? Yeah, and it's like, right. Oh, hey, this is who we are. Like, you know what I mean? If you don't like it, get out.
Rock. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's so funny.
But yeah.
Nice. So yeah, Baltimore. And then tell us about residency. How was applying to residency? How'd you decide on radiology?
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
why the reading room?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, you know, radiology is one of those things, right? Like, you, as a med student, you just don't get exposed to it, like, you know, until it's almost like too late. It seems like, you know, most schools, I don't know how it was for you at Cincinnati, but like, we couldn't do a radiology rotation until like beginning of fourth year. Pretty much, you know, like to do a full elective kind of thing. But yeah, I think for me, you know, one, I ended up like meeting some mentors, obviously, that were in it, including Saad, of course. And, you know, also some like my med school, some of the attendings that I got along well with in med school and happened to be radiologists. The radiology clerkship director was just a really, really great guy, who had a huge influence on myself and like all the other people in my class that went into radiology.
Do you remember, were there like a lot of people in your class who decided to go into radiology?
Yes. So we actually started an interest group, like during med school, for radiology. It had been defunct for like over a decade or something, and we like brought it back. We revived it. We started it, and with the help of this faculty advisor, and then it ended up being essentially like, you know, I like to take credit for getting my friends to hop on the, you know,
you
the,
should take full
the
credit.
Train into the dark. But yeah, you know, ended up being like 10 of us from my class that ended up applying for radiology. Which is a big number compared to all the other, you know, years. Yeah, it's usually absolutely just like a couple. And I think that was a big part because we started this interest group and then all of us were hanging out together and just were like, oh, you know.
Yeah, you choose, sometimes you, choose, you yeah. sometimes you choose the people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But I think, you know, I think the appreciation for radiology really came like, you know, like, hey, every single thing, you know, every sick person coming to the hospital is dependent on an imaging study, and you're kind of like that crucial part of the, you know,
you're involved,
the management.
Coach.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, exactly. So, and you know, so
good, man.
Now, so, and then from there you went to the West Side.
The West Side. Yes. West Coast. Yeah, that was an interesting, it was, you're asking why or
yeah,
well, I did residency at University of Southern California in Los Angeles, so kind of bounced around, yeah, from Midwest to East Coast, and then
went. Killed the steps.
Huh? No, I didn't. I didn't.
He did.
No,
he lost them. He's
no, I yes. definitely did not. No. Okay.
You
no.
don't fall into USC.
No, I think. No, I think it was just
reverse backflip. No way. That's California.
No, no, it would. I definitely did not kill steps, but I think it's just, you know, it's just. Yeah, it just ends up being a fit thing sometimes.
Well, good for you, man. Yeah. It's a great place. I interviewed there for interventional radiology.
Ah, so you probably
not saying. I was very close.
Yeah?
But,
do you remember who you met there?
No.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's been a while. Yeah. I mean, the program director at the time was very big in the IR, and I think she was an interventional radiologist, but I don't remember her name.
Yeah, so our residency program director was Dr. Marks. Tony okay. Marks, she's, I really like her, fantastic, yeah. And then, I'm trying to think who was the fellowship director now, might be Dr. Katz, I don't know if you met him, really nice guy, yeah.
Yeah, I think Ryu is out there now.
What's
that? Ryu from Colorado.
Oh, yeah, he's the new chair, I didn't get to meet him, he came on his chair after I left, but yeah.
Now, were you guys the same year, I guess, like?
2016 from residency, 2017 from fellowship.
I have to do the math. Is that sad that I have to do the math?
Wait, what? Pre-pandemic?
Yeah.
I finished pre-pandemic.
No, I think you were a year ahead.
Year ahead, okay, okay.
2017, yeah.
So that's when you guys were in Boston at the same time.
Yeah, so you did MGH?
Yeah.
Oh, nice, that's was, awesome.
Yeah, 16 to 17, yeah, man.
You killed it.
Wow.
You must have killed the stats, man.
That's right.
You know, sometimes, you know.
Love it.
No,
where did you residency, by the way? Sorry.
Mayo. Okay. Rochester.
Wow. Yeah, that's impressive, man.
That's good.
Oh, that's good.
Look at us now.
Yeah. How was Mayo?
I liked it. I really did. It was cold, but I liked it. Yeah, I mean,
it was not USC.
No.
Mayo, very nice. Mayo.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I saw just about everything, as you could see.
Yeah.
And a lot of support and resources. You know, it was a wonderful place.
That's great, man.
Yeah, it was good. So good. I don't regret it.
Good.
Yeah. We're here. We made it here.
Yeah. What's the best thing about being an attending?
The money, I think, but no, I'm just kidding.
Hey,
but you know,
hey, we're gonna keep it a buck here.
Yes,
you didn't get paid.
Well, the biggest difference, I mean, that's one of the biggest differences
yeah.
between, yes, you know, attending and being a trainee. But I mean, along those lines, definitely, you know, feeling like, you know, being able to support your family and finally achieving, you know, the dreams that you've had for this many years, and you know, that's a huge blessing.
Absolutely,
so true.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but I can just like, I think back on the things that would have worried my parents, or I think back on the things that worried me as a kid, and now I don't even give it another thought. It's like,
yeah,
you know, you look in the kitchen, and you're like, well. Well, where's the food? You
know, like,
it's not about whether or not you had the means to go get the food.
Yeah.
It's whether or not you just took the time to go get
it. That's exactly right.
And it's like, that there, I don't take for granted.
Not at all. And we always talk about this all the time. I feel like one of the nicest things about, you know, being comfortable is that, like, you know, you can just do things.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to necessarily worry about, you know, doing a vacation or going out to dinner.
Right.
You know, I remember in residency, residency was funny. We used to do this credit card roulette thing. Have you guys ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a disaster.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a disaster.
I didn't like that game, man.
It was not good. Basically, you know, you go out with all your co-residents and it's like, let's say it's like 6-7 of you guys, right?
Yeah.
So basically everyone orders, eats, you know, I don't drink, but everyone else drinks, you know, they drink, bill comes. And instead of telling the waiter or waitress to split the cost, you basically just give them all your credit cards.
The waiter?
Yes.
Okay.
And then they one by one put the credit cards down from behind their back.
Oh.
And the last person that they put down pays for everything.
But do they have to like shuffle it?
Yeah, supposed to shuffle it. But yes, I just remember credit card roulette.
How many times did you do that?
Twice.
Okay.
I never had to pay though.
Ooh.
Yes. You would lose in that one.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you don't drink.
Oh. No. Exactly.
Exactly. Drinks are like half the
bill. Exactly. But now I think the nice thing is that you can go out to dinner. You can do these things that you've been kind of sacrificing not doing, you know, for such a long time. So it's definitely one of the nicest perks. Like, I don't think it's necessarily all the other big things, but just the day by day things. So,
so can you tell me what was most difficult about going into radiology as a black man? Or what do you feel like were the tallest, the highest hurdles to climb?
Yeah.
To leap over.
That's a great question, and I think it's definitely something that needs to be talked about. I think I have to choose one. So I think just in general, being a black man in medicine, in the medical field, not in seeing, you know, seeing as many people that look like you, you know, or that not having difficulty finding those role models. Fortunately, I was lucky, I was able to find them, but it's, you know, it can have an effect on your confidence and your subconscious and your psyche.
Absolutely.
You know, how can you become something if you're not seeing enough examples of that, or you know, how it can be done.
There's a lot of trial and error in radiology too, so it's like you don't, you know, you probably feel extra pressure when they call you out in conference
to
answer a question, or if they, you know, if you miss something, you know, or like, you know, the attending like see the dictation error, you know, it's
exactly
like these things like come with extra pressure, obviously.
Yeah.
Think about the family we mentioned earlier.
Yes.
The golden child. The
yeah.
100%. You better not embarrass me.
Yes.
100%. Better than.
100%.
Exactly.
More times over. So.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And there, you know, I think along with that, you get that identity, right? Yeah. As you know, if you're in any residency program, you're pretty much going to be in radiology residency, you're pretty much going to be the only one or one of, you know, like
right.
two or, you know, three. Fortunately, I had one other with me in my class. But then the downside to that was that, you know, people would get us mixed up all the time. this actually happened. And I don't know if I should share this on the...
you should definitely share it.
Okay. Well, you know, so... and
it's a great story.
Everything ended up fine. But, you know, when I was applying for fellowships, my good friend and classmate in residency, who also happened to be African-American and had a very similar name to mine... we were both also applying for the same kind of fellowship, MSK fellowship, and
from the same program.
From the same
alone.
Program, and
you're in LA now.
I'm in LA now. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. And so what ended up happening was, you know, so obviously we, you know, everything's kind of at the same time. We have to get a letter from a certain same person, a letter of recommendation from a certain same person. And, you know, I'm going through the process, getting some interviews, feeling excited. One of the early interviews that I get, or one of the programs that I get, I talk to one of the current fellows there at MSK who's interviewing me. He's like, hey... He's like, do you go by Hassan or do you go by my classmate's name? And I was like, wait, what? Like, he's like, yeah, in your application, it says, you know, in your letter of recommendation from this person, it actually says, and then insert my classmate's name. So this letter writer got us mixed up and wrote my recommendation letter using that other person's name.
I wonder who he's thinking about.
Yes. So, you know, and we happen to be the only, yeah. So, you know, so I think, yeah, but fortunately ended up working out just fine. That letter writer was fantastic in terms of fixing everything and made some calls and made sure that I got the MSK fellowship that I wanted, but turned it into a positive. But it was, you know, I think it still states a lot of things in just in terms of, you know, how people group, you know, people together that have similarities and, you know, inherent biases and things like that. But yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Man. You said a key word that's been a hot topic these days, biases that we have. And if you have a brain, you have a bias.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of biases out there, and these subconscious things that we just similarity bias that we're talking about over and over again.
Yeah.
Just having somebody that looks like you, mm-hmm. and coming to conclusions based on those similarities, you know, it can sometimes hurt you, a lot of times hurt you, and sometimes help.
Yeah.
The idea is we check them and we think about it, but yeah, I'm glad
it works out.
Yeah,
it works out.
Yeah.
It'll work out.
Yeah, you know,
keep trying. So. It'll work out.
Yeah. What's meant to be will happen, as they say, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So a shout out to the first black radiologist, Marcus Wheatland, born 1868 and graduated from Howard Medical School in 1895.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
First one.
Fantastic.
Man.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't 1985.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for pressing play. Dr. Hassan Muhammad, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Oh,
sir.
Thank you guys.
We really
yes, absolutely.
Hit us on IG at Reading Room Talk and drop a line or voice note to readingroomtalk@gmail.com so we can discuss your case. Please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or wherever you get your pods, preferably in between cases.